That's about as good a version of that song you'll ever hear right there. I listened to Jim Reeves, who's famous for singing that song on the YouTube here, getting the chords out. And I tell you what, those ladies did just as good a job as Jim Reeves did. Give you an update here on Brother Tillman here this morning. He's one of our missionaries, and I've known Brother Tommy 40 years, I guess. And Super Brother Earl said he's not missionary, he's super missionary. And he's done 50 years over there with the lepers in Thailand and was the most incredible guys I've ever known in my whole life. But he says this, and I'm just going to skip through some of it, just give you one part. But he says this: last week about midnight, my chest began to hurt very badly. We called my granddaughter Sarah, and she rushed me to the hospital. After several tests, it was told that I had another heart attack. He's had several of them. He's had 14 heart stents. He's been through cancer and everything in the world. And he said, that's pretty rough at 87 years old. The doctor told me I needed one more stent to open up my heart artery. He also said that it would not extend my life, but only make my life easier. So we decided not to have the stent put in. We're going to rely on God and your prayers to keep us going. We ask that you keep us in prayer. I hope to have a couple of more good years left. Never give up on God being able to use you at any age. So pray for him. Remember him in prayer. And pray God to keep him to the rapture. It can't be too much longer, this deal going on the way things are going. If it's much longer, boy, we're going to be in a lot of trouble here. A lot of trouble. Pray even so, come Lord Jesus. I've said many times, if God gives me one prayer to answer and he comes up and says, I'm going to give you one prayer and I'm going to answer that one, we're out of here. I don't have to think. I don't have to pray. I say, let's go, Lord. Even so, come Lord Jesus. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. Take your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 22 and John chapter 18. Luke chapter 22 and 18. I hope you got a Bible, because you need to see some of these. I never trust the preacher, especially this one. Let God be true and every man a liar. I want to see what God says. And we use the Bible here. I have you open it up and look at it. And I've had people come here and say, well, I've never had to been in a church where you open the Bible so much preaching. I said, well, that's, you haven't been in the wrong church then. You need to come one that opens up the Word of God. And that's what we preach from, the old King James. That's what we believe. We believe it's the Word of God, every word of it. Luke chapter 22, and here's the Lord Jesus, and here's the Garden of Gethsemane, and they come and betray him. You know, familiar, you ought to be familiar with that. Oh, we're going to pick it up, Luke 22, verse 35. He says this is the fourth Gethsemane. He says this another place, but I want you to look at this. And he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and script and shoes, lacked you anything? And they said, nothing. Then said he unto them, but now he that hath the purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. That's his carrying thing and purse. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garments and buy one. And the Lord tells him there, he's getting ready to be betrayed. He said, sell your garment, sell your scrip, give the money, everything you got, and go get a sword. And they said, Lord, behold, we have two swords. And he said, it's enough. I got a message. Behold, Lord, we have two swords. And turn over and look at Luke chapter 22. Come down to verse number 50. Turn down to verse 50, and the Lord told them to get two swords there and get a sword, and they got a sword. And they come to get Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane in verse 50, Luke 22, 50. And one of them, we know it's Peter, we're going to look at that in John 18, and one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. That was Peter. And when Peter cut off his right ear, Peter was going for the head. Here's a sword here. And if Peter would have did like this, cut the right ear off, he'd have cut him in half. Peter was going to cut his head off, and the guy ducked, and he got the ear. And the Lord, it says here in Luke chapter 22, verse 51, and Jesus answered, suffer ye thus far, and he touched his ear and healed him. I'm not going to preach about that, but you know, if I'd have been there that day and I'd have been in the Garden of Gethsemane and Peter cut the guy's ear off and he's laying there on the ground and Jesus reached over there and popped that sucker back on, I'd have said, whoa, let's hold off here. We might want to slow it down here. He might be the right one, but men are that way. Turn to John chapter 18. John chapter 18. John chapter 18. The Lord tells them there to go get two swords. In John chapter 18, verse 1, here it is again. In John 18, 1, then Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where there was a garden, and where he entered, and his disciples, and Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus ofttimes resorted there with his disciples, where he prayed a lot, you know that. We come to the garden. Come down to verse 10. And here it is again. Then Simon Peter, that's who he knew it was, having a sword, drew it, and smote the high priest's servant, and cut off his right ear. And the servant's name was Malchus. Then Jesus said unto him, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given thee, shall I not drink it? And I want to preach a little bit this morning on put up thy sword into the sheath. You know, the Bible talks about a sword. The Word of God is a sword. The Christian life's a fight. The Bible said in 1 Timothy 6:12, it said, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold eternal life. When Paul got through in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, he said, I fought a good fight. I kept the course. It's a fight. We're a soldier. We got a sword. We got a spiritual sword, the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 6, 7 says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 4, 12 says about the Word of God, it said it's quick and powerful. Powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The Bible said in the book of Psalms, it said, let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a sharp two-edged sword in their hand. We have a sword. But a lot of times, you know what Christians do? They could pick up the wrong sword. A lot of times Christians fight the wrong fight. A lot of times Christians, they'll fight the wrong fight. They'll fight each other. They'll fight the church. They'll fight the preacher. They'll fight each other. They'll fight themselves. They fight everything but the right thing. And there's just some times in our life, brethren, that we need to put up thy sword into the sheath. You're fighting the wrong thing. You're fighting with the wrong sword. And I'm going to give you some things this morning on some swords that you need to put up in thy sheath. And I will say, number one, the first sword I'm going to talk about this morning is a sword of the tongue. The tongue. Take your Bible, turn over to the book of Psalms. Turn to Psalms chapter 52. Look at Psalms chapter 52. Psalms chapter number 52. You know the Bible has more to say about the sin of the tongue than any other sin in the Bible. That sword of the tongue will get you in more trouble than anything else you can do. Look at Psalms chapter 52. Psalms chapter 52. Verse 2 says this. The tongue deviseth mischief like a sharp razor working deceitfully. Look at Psalm 57 verse 4. It says this, Psalm 57 4. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue is a sharp sword. Look at Psalm 64 verse 3. Psalm 64 verse 3 says this. Who wet their tongue like a sword. You know what the word wet means? It means to sharpen. When you have a knife or a sword, you lay it on that thing and you sharpen it, it's called wet. That verse said they sharpen their tongue like a sword. I tell you, brethren, that sometimes you need to take and put the sword of the tongue and stick it back in that sheath and don't pull it out. Because it'll cut somebody and hurt somebody, and you need to take and put the sword of the tongue back in the sheath. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18 says this, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword. I mean, you can take the words, and it's just like a sword, the Bible said, and you know, it'll cut, and it'll pierce, and it can tear up a church, it can tear up a home, it can tear up a job, it can tear up a marriage. You say what? The sword of that tongue. You know this blade right here? This sword, you know what they call this right here? That's called the tongue. Just like this thing right here, don't it? That's what they call it. The blade on this thing, this sharp blade, is called the tongue. They got that out of the Bible, by the way. I want to say, put up in that sheath the sword of the tongue. Proverbs 18:21 says this, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And the next part of that verse is amazing. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. See, if you love to take that tongue and talk about people and talk about death and cut people and kill, you know what? That Bible said there's people that love to do that.
I've been around people that just love to take that tongue and that Bible said death and life in the power of the tongue. And they that love it, you can love and do this, use your tongue for God, or you can take it and just cut people up. Either way, Brother Bunk preached a message years ago. Miss Frieda, I remember it. I don't remember what he said. But you ever hear Brother Bunk preach? He goes from raising horses to raising bees to cooking cakes in the same message a lot of time. But I remember the title. The title was good enough for the message. And it was on how to kill somebody without firing a shot. Y'all remember that? You know, he preached about the tongue. The tongue. There's some time, brethren, you just need to take that tongue and keep it in the sheath and don't pull it out. Keep it in there. Keep it in there. Keep that tongue. Put that sword of the tongue in the sheath. Take your Bible, turn over to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. There's more written in the Word of God about the danger and the destruction of a tongue than any other sin in all the Bible. That tongue. If I didn't know the Bible was the Word of God, I'd know it by the doctrine of the tongue. What God says about this tongue. Look at James chapter 3. Look what the Lord said about it. This is the Word of God. This is what God said about the tongue. James chapter 3:1 says this, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we receive the greater condemnation. For in many things are we offend all, but if any man offend not in word," talking about the tongue, "the same is a perfect man, able to be a bridle of the whole body." If you can keep his tongue under control, he said, you can bridle the whole body. "But we put this in a horse's mouth, and we make obey us, and we turn their whole body. Said, behold, we also have ships, which they are so great, they are driven with fierce winds, they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever they go. Even so, the tongue is a little member. And both a great thing, behold, how great a matter a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire," verse 6, "a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. For of every beast and birds and serpents and things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed to mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil and it's full of deadly poison." He said, who wrote that? God wrote that. God wrote, that's what he said about that tongue. He said, it's full of deadly poison. And brother, there's times you need to take, and most of the time, you need to keep that tongue in that sheath and don't sling it out. You know, when you go to the doctor, I was at the doctor a couple of weeks ago, first time I've been in 4 years. And one of the first things they'll ask you, you know what they'll say? Stick out your tongue. You know why? They can look at your tongue and tell a lot about the health of your physical body. You know what? I can tell, and the Lord can tell, by the help of your spiritual life, your health, by that tongue. How you control that tongue. That Bible said that tongue will defile the whole body. So what are you trying to say? I'm trying to tell you, keep that old sword of the tongue in the sheath. Don't pull that thing out, man. Guard it. Guard it. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 4. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. You can use this tongue to tell people about Jesus Christ, encourage people. You can use this tongue to help people. And you can use this tongue to kill people, man, spiritually and mentally, and discourage them. Peter had a problem with that tongue, didn't he? Take your Bible, turn over to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And go to Ephesians 4 real quick. 1 Peter chapter 3. You know what Peter did? He was over there bragging one time. He said, Lord, all them deny you. He said, I'll never deny you. Remember that? He had a problem with that tongue. Let that thing wagging all over the place. Should have kept it in the sheath. Jesus said, I tell you, before this cock crow thrice, you'll deny me. He said, not me, Lord. Although I die, I won't do it. And you know what happened? He took that old tongue and denied Jesus Christ with it. He took that old tongue, the Bible said, they came to him and said, you were with him, your speech betrayeth, your tongue betrayeth. And you know what the Bible said? He began to curse and to swear, mocking God. You say, how? That old tongue got him in trouble. Hey, it'll get Peter in trouble. Let me tell you, friend, it'll get you in trouble. I want to tell you, you better keep that sword of the tongue in the sheath. Look what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 3. He knew about this. I think he's right from experience. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. For he that will love life. You want to love this life? You want to have a good life? You want to love life and see good days? You want to do that? Here's the recipe. God wrote this. God wrote it. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Don't speak something that doesn't edify. If you want to have a good life, you want to have a good life, and you want to have good days, that Bible said all you need to do is keep that tongue in the sheath. Don't keep pulling that thing out all over the place. There's a lot of verses. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. There's so many verses. I'm just trying to get through, give you scratching the surface on this point. I'm trying to tell you, you need to keep that tongue right there. Keep that thing in the sheath. Keep it in the sheath. Don't wag that thing. It'll cut people up and hurt people. And you can do damage that you could never go back and refix. Can't do it. Too late. Too late. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Here's what the Word of God says. God says this. Listen, it's important what God says. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Out of your mouth. Don't corrupt. Ought to be edifying. But that which to the good use of edifying. Listen, if you can't edify, can't help somebody, keep that thing shut. Keep that sword in the sheath. Look what it says. That it may minister grace unto the hearers. Verse 30, you know what it'll do? And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you seal the day of redemption. That all bitterness and wrath and clamor and evil speak. You know what it'll do? This tongue, as great as the Spirit of God in you, that Bible said, that evil communication will grieve the Holy Spirit of God. What do you need to do? Brother, you need to keep that sword of the tongue in the sheath. Proverbs 29:20, seest thou a man that is hasty in his words, there is more hope of a fool than him. Proverbs 17:28, even a fool when he holdeth his peace is counted wise. Say, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say, take that sword of the tongue and keep it in the sheath. Put up the sword in the sheath and just leave it there. Leave it there. I heard a little thing one time, a little poem. If your lips would keep from slips, five things observe with care. This is good. To whom you speak, of whom you speak, and how, and when, and where. If your lips would keep from slips, five things observe with care. To whom you speak, of whom you speak, and how, and when, and where. Keep the sword of the tongue in that sheath. Put up our sword in the sheath. There's some swords we need. I'm going to give you another sword you need to keep in there. And that's the sword of your temper. Your temper. Everybody has a temper. Everybody on this earth has a temperament. Some of them have a short fuse. Some of them have a long one. Proverbs chapter 16 verse 32 says this. He that is slow to anger is he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. The Bible has a lot to say about your temper. Proverbs 25:28, he that hath no rule over his spirit is like a city that is broken down without walls. You need to keep the sword of the temper in that sheath. Because I'm telling you, everybody in this building, everybody on this earth has got one. James chapter 1 verse 18 says this. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Keep the sword of the temper in that sheath. Because if you're not careful, it'll come out. And brother, never before in the history of our country have we seen people with temper and wrath. I saw yesterday on the internet, it was on the news, there's a 54-year-old lady in Target that was in a walker, had just come out of the hospital, Miss Martha, with a liver transplant, and there was somebody there, and you're supposed to wear a mask in Target, and they didn't have a mask, and that poor lady told her to wear a mask, and that person, that another lady, threw her on the ground from that walker and broke her legs. What has happened to our nation? There's so much temper and anger all over the place. People are walking around with a chip on their shoulder wearing a mask. They're ready to hurt somebody. Man, what's wrong with us? Listen, you better keep the sword of that temper in the sheath. Because there's people walking around right now, they'll shoot you for being in line at a restaurant right now. Most of the crimes are committed a lot of times in about of a few seconds of a temper. Take your Bible, turn over to Numbers chapter 12. Won't you see this? Numbers chapter 12. Everybody has a temper. Everybody. Some of them have a short fuse. Some of them got a long one. And every one of us has one. And you need to keep that sword, that temper in the sheath and keep it from coming out. Because I'm telling you, brother, it can do a lot of damage real quick. There's a man in the Bible, his name's Moses. Look at Numbers chapter 12. Here's what God said about, you know, Moses. The Bible said over in Exodus 33 verse 11 that the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh with his friend. God and Moses were like that. God knew Moses. God knows every man. In Numbers chapter 12 verse 3, it says about the man Noah, Moses. He said, now the man Moses was very meek, timid, meek, above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. All the men on the face of the earth, God said, and God knows every man. He said he was the most meekest man on the earth. But you know what? Moses had a temper. Look over Numbers chapter 20. Numbers chapter 20. Numbers chapter 20. God told Moses over there one time. He said, Moses, I want you to speak to that rock. He done smote it once over there. That's a type of Christ. When God, he smoked that rock over there, the Bible says over in the book of Corinthians, that rock that they drank was Christ. And he smoked that rock that first time. That was Calvary. Second time he told him, he said, speak to that rock. That was the second advent when Jesus Christ comes back with a shout. And Moses gets over there in Numbers chapter 20. And the Bible says this, Numbers chapter 20 verse 1. Then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation of the desert of Sin, the first month. And the people abode at Kadesh, and Mirbeth died there and was buried. And there was no water for the congregation. They gathered themselves together against Moses, against Aaron. Verse 3, and the people chose with Moses and saying, would God we had died with our brethren, died in the wilderness. You know what happened. Verse 7, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak it to the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth the water, and I shall bring forth to them water out of the rock. So shalt thou give to the congregation there be strength. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. God gave him the rod right there. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation before the rock. And he said to them, here now, you rebels, must we fetch water out of the rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and the water came out. God told him to speak to that rock. You know what Moses did? He threw a little temper tantrum. He said, you rebels, us, we always get water. And he took that sword, rock and rod, and he hit that rock twice with that rod. That little temper tantrum. You know what happened because of that? You know your Bible. God wouldn't let him go in the promised land. Get over there in Numbers chapter 32. He told him, because you trespass against me and the children of Israel at the water from Mirbeth Kadesh in the wilderness. He said, thou shalt not, you'll see the land, but thou shalt not go in. Moses worked with him 120 years. He had 40 years in the wilderness. All that great testimony he had. I mean, all those years leading Israel. I mean, he had a great testimony. And there in just a few seconds, he had a little old temper tantrum. And those few seconds right there kept him out of the will of God. Kept him from fellowship with the Lord. Kept him from going to the promised land. I've seen in this church, you have too, I've seen people in this church that have a testimony and been walking with God for years, and one little episode, one little temper tantrum will destroy their testimony. You've seen it, I've seen it. Put that sword of the temper. Keep it in that sheath. Don't pull that thing out. Moses got mad, had a little temper tantrum,
in that little few seconds. I mean, that guy, all he went through, and I was thinking about this message, taking Israel through the wilderness for 40 years, putting up with them like he did, bringing them out of Egypt, going to Pharaoh, all those years. What a testimony. Bible said he spoke to God face to face in that one few seconds of pulling that temper. Pull that temper out of the sheath and smoke that rock. That kept him out of the promised land. I'm telling you, a lot of people's temper kept them out of the will of God, kept them out of fellowship with God's people. We've seen it in this church. You've seen it in the job. You've seen it everywhere. You say, why? That old temper, don't pull it out. Keep it in the sheath. It'll destroy everything around you if you're not careful. Old Billy Sunday was preaching the great evangelist one time, and a man, he preached about the temper. And a man came to him and he said, Brother Billy, I got a bad temper. He said, it don't go off much. And he said, it don't last long. Billy Sunday said, well, a shotgun blast don't last long either, but it destroys everything around you. So I got a temper, but I don't last. It'll destroy a church. It'll destroy a home. It'll destroy a family. It'll destroy a job. Keep that temper of the sword in the sheath. Don't pull that thing out. All of us got one. The Bible has a lot to say about a temper. I got to hurry. It says over there about temperance. You know what temperance means in the Bible? You know what temperate means? It means moderate. It means calm. It means cool. It means don't get your dandruff up. All throughout the Bible, read, God says to be temperate. Over there in Acts chapter 24, and Paul said he reasoned righteousness and temperance. One of the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22 is temperance. All through the Bible, you know what that is? That means to keep your cool. Don't pull out that sword of the temper out of the sheath. You know what this blade right here? This is plastic. But a real blade, some of you fellas probably know this, you may have seen this on TV. When they take this blade, a blacksmith, they'll take this blade and hammer it out, shape it up, and get it ready to sharpen. But before they can sharpen that blade, you know what they do? They go there and they temper it, is what they call temper it. They'll take and they'll put it in a hot fire and they'll get it so hot and it'll change the molecular qualities of that blade. And then as soon as they get it hot, they'll dip it down in some oil or something, cool it real fast. And that changes and makes that blade hard. And they can sharpen it. That's what temper means. It means to be hot. That's where the word temperature comes from. Listen, don't get that temper out of that shield. It'll get hot and get hard and destroy everything. Keep it malleable. Keep it soft. Don't let it get there. Let me tell you, everybody has a temper. One of the greatest preachers that ever lived, one of the greatest men of God to ever live, was a man named Martin Luther. Martin Luther brought in the Protestant Reformation, 1483, nailed the doors up there in Wittenberg, or 1517 that day, and brought in the Reformation. And Martin Luther was a great man of God, one of the greatest that ever walked this earth, man. But that old fellow had problems, just like you and I do. I told you before, Martin Luther had problems with depression. He'd stay in bed sometimes for weeks. But when that guy was out, I read before and saw on TV where 25% of all the books published in the world during the day of Martin Luther, he wrote them. He wrote on everything. He wrote on history. He wrote on medicine. He wrote on theology. He wrote on science. He wrote on geometry, astronomy. That guy was amazing what he did. But he suffered depression. And I'll tell you something else about him. He had a bad temper. He could get in a rage like that. I know people like that. It's easy to do. You know what Martin Luther used to do? He said, in order to try to calm his temper down, in order to keep that sword, the temper in the sheath, before it got out of hand, before he'd say something and he'd get hot, he'd quote in his mind, or out loud, he'd quote the Lord's Prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And lead us not into temptation, deliver us from trespasses. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory thereof. He'd quote that whole thing. Just try to slow down. I worked with a girl, and she was smart, this girl. And she had a bad temper. Name was Leslie. I mean, she was brilliant, really. She had a master's degree. She was my boss at one time. But that girl had a temper, and I don't care where she is at, who she's with. She could be with the CEO, the CFO. It didn't matter. That thing could go off like that. And she had a great communication skills other than that.
She was an attractive girl, communicated, carried herself where she could have been way up in the company. And Rich, the CIO, he'd work with her because he wanted to keep her. He ended up getting rid of her because of her temper. But he'd say, Leslie, when you get that way, before you speak, he'd say, count to 10. Count to 50. Just start counting. And I've seen her in meetings over going, one, two, three. Hey, that works! Whatever it takes to keep that sword of the temper in that sheath. Just don't pull it out. Don't pull it out. There's a sword of the temper. There's a sword of the tongue. Let me tell you, there's a sword of temptation this morning. The sword of temptation. We're all tempted. That song, tempted and tried, we're all made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long. All the day long we're tempted. When you're old enough to scream and yell, you're tempted. And when you're too old to scream and yell, you're tempted. You'll be tempted to the day you die. You'll be tempted forever. And just all the time we're tempted to do wrong. We're tempted. That old song, I Must Tell Jesus, says this, oh, how the world with its evil allures me. Oh, how my heart is tempted to sin. We're all that way. We have that sort of temptation. It's tempted to not to read our Bible. We're tempted to be lazy. We're tempted not to tithe. We're tempted to disobey God. We're tempted not to give out tracts. We're tempted not to do that. We're just tempted all the time to stay away from God. Keep that sword of temptation in the sheath. Because you're going to be tempted. It's all over the place. The Lord Jesus Christ was tempted. All his life he was tempted. He's probably the most tempted man that ever lived. As soon as his ministry started, Luke chapter 4, verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness in 40 days, tempted of the devil. The devil tempted. The devil wasn't afraid of him. Listen, if he'll tempt Jesus Christ, he'll tempt me and you. All throughout his life, the Bible talks about the devil tempting. I don't have time to go on all that. People tempted the Lord. Mark chapter 5, 11, the Pharisees came forth and began to question him, seeking him of a sign from heaven, tempting him. Mark 10, 2, and the Pharisees came to him and asked him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife? Tempting him. Luke 10, 28, and behold, a certain lawyer came up and tempted him and tempted him and tempted him. He was tempted, brother. I want you to take your Bible, turn over to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 and James chapter 1. There's a sword of temptation. Keep that sword of temptation in the sheath. Keep that sword of the tongue in the sheath. Don't wag it and pull it out. Keep that sword of the temper in that sheath. Keep the sword of temptation in the sheath. Don't just pull it out. Look at Hebrews chapter 4 verse 15 says this. Hebrews 4:15 about Jesus Christ. See, temptation is not a sin. Said about Jesus Christ, and we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, but yet without sin. Temptation is not a sin. It's not a sin to be tempted. Jesus was tempted, but he never sinned. You know when it becomes a sin? When you take that temptation out of the shell and start cutting with it. Leave that sword of temptation in the sheath. Look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Blessed is a man. James chapter 1, 12. Blessed is a man that endureth temptation. You're going to be in temptation. It's going to happen to you. Every one of us. For when he has tried, he shall receive a crown of life. The Lord has promised him that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted to God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted any man. But every man is tempted, watch it, when he's drawn away of his own lust. See, you know what happens? You get tempted and you'll draw that sword out of your own lust. Keep that temptation, that sword of temptation in there. It's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when it has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. The temptation is not the sin. The sin is when you draw that sword out, brethren. That's when you get in trouble. Keep that sword of temptation in the sheath. Benjamin Franklin said this, it is easier to suppress the first temptation than to pay all that follows after it. That's a good saying. It is easy to suppress the first temptation rather than to pay for all that follows after it. That song, yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Each victory will help you some other to win. Fight manfully onward. Dark passions subdue. Look ever to Jesus and He'll carry you through. Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Shun evil companions, bad language, disdain. God's name hold in reverence, nor take it in vain. Be thoughtful and earnest, kind-hearted and true. Look to Jesus. That's a great song, and He'll carry you through. See what He's trying to say? Keep that sword of the tongue in the sheath. Don't pull that thing out. Don't just blow that thing out. Keep that sword of the temper in. Keep that sword of temptation. I'm going to give you one more real quick this morning. One more. And that's the sword. Take your Bible, turn over to Proverbs 6. Proverbs chapter 6. And this one's kind of a step for those three. A lot of times it starts with the tongue and the temper and the temptation. And it ends here a lot of times. And too many times it ends in the house of God. I hate to say it. Too many times these things get in the house of God. Last place they ought to be. But they come in the house of God. Look at Proverbs chapter 6. Here's what God says. Proverbs chapter 6 verse 16. Here's what the Lord says. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are abomination to Him. God hates things all throughout the Bible, by the way. But He said these six things doth the Lord hate. And that seventh one He said is abomination. Look what He says. A proud look, a lying tongue. There's that tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift and running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies. That's six. Here's number seven. And he that soweth discord among the brethren. That's an abomination to God right there. He said these six things He hates, and that seventh one, he that soweth discord among the brethren, He said that is an abomination to Him. I want to say there's a sword of turmoil and trouble. Keep that sword of turmoil in the sheath. I see it all the time. I see it all the time. People cause trouble in the house and home and the church. They fret and pull out that sword of turmoil all over the time. Keep that sword. Don't sow discord among the brethren. Don't do it. That's an abomination to God, brethren. Keep the sword of turmoil and trouble in that sheath. I've never agreed with any preacher I've ever sat under. I never. 100%. I didn't agree 100% with Larry Cooper. I didn't agree 100% with Charlie Andrews. I didn't agree 100% with Mike Rouse. I didn't agree 100% with David Watkins, my cousin. I didn't agree 100% with Kent McClendon. But I never, my wife can witness this. She knows me. I have never tried to cause those men trouble. Never. I never tried to correct one of them. In 45 years, I've never came up to a preacher and said, "Preacher, you need to do this." And God, I never will do a Bible-believing preacher. I've never wanted to pull out that sword and sow discord among the brethren. And I've never agreed with one of them, 100%. But I agree with 95% of what they preach. I wouldn't have been there. But I didn't try to pick it apart. When my kids are growing up, my wife knows this. She can amen this. I tried my best not to ever speak negative or nothing against the preacher or the house of God. She knows it. There's been times when things come up, and my wife knows, and she brought it up. And I told her, I said, "Hey, let's talk about that later." She knows that because I didn't want my kids hearing nothing bad about the house of God. Nothing. I didn't want them to hear no discord from me about the house of God. I want them to love the house of God. I want them to love the man of God. I want them to respect and honor that man for the position he had in that church. Keep the sword of turmoil in the sheath. Don't pull that thing out. Don't pull it out, man. That's abomination to God. That Bible said, "He that troubles his own house shall reap inherit the whirlwind." I've seen too many preachers, too many Christians talk about the church, talk about the preacher, and sow discord. And those preachers, I know Christians, I know two of them right now, my friend. That's all they do. I hate to hear it, they call me up. Nothing good comes out of their house. And their kids are out of church. They want nothing to do with God. They want nothing to do with church. You say why? They just kept pulling out that sword of turmoil and discord among the house of God. What are you trying to say? Keep that sword of turmoil in the sheath. Take your Bible, turn to John, 3 John chapter 1. I'm just about through. 3 John chapter 1. We need to hear these things, folks. Because they get in churches. They get in churches bad. Little churches especially. Listen, if somebody calls you up about something negative about this church, hang up on them. Well, I'm going to tell you, this preacher right here is trying to help you. This preacher has one goal, to help you, to keep you safe in this virus, trying to keep you safe spiritually, trying to help you. It works on these sermons. I pray for every one of you every morning. They don't do that, but I do it. Some of you, I weep for you. This old preacher does. Somebody calls you up, says something negative, you just say, hey, listen, I may not agree with everything that preacher, that church does, but that God puts me, hang up. See you later, alligator. Hang it up. Because there's preachers, there's people who like to hurt this church right now. I can tell you right now, they like to do it. And I'm going to tell you, keep that sword of turmoil and discord. Keep it in that sheath. Don't pull it out. They call up, want to do that, say, I got to go. I'll call you back later. Call them back later in 10 years. Don't do it. Don't sow discord among the brethren. It's abomination to God, brethren. That's the Word of God right there. Look at John chapter 3 John. This is 3 John, not the gospel, not first. 3 John. There's a famous fellow in the Bible. Famous. 3 John chapter 1 verse 9. I wrote unto the church. Watch it. But Diotrephes is his name. He's in the church. He's high up in the church. I wrote unto the church. And John's warning him. But Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, I've seen them like that, receiveth it not. Watch it. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, forbidding them that would, and cast them out of the church. That fellow was in the church, and all he was doing, malicious words, getting people out of church, and sowing the sword of turmoil. Keep that sword of turmoil in the sheath, and somebody, Diotrephes, called you up, hang up. Tell him I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear it. Look at verse number 12. Demetrius hath good report of all men. Don't be a Diotrephes. So I want to be a Demetrius. I want to have a good report. I don't want to be a part of that crew. I don't want to be a part of that crew. I got a good sense of this point the other day, Friday. And I was thinking about this point, had several different points. This message. And as a preacher, I could give you many illustrations. I don't have time, but I talked to this preacher about a year ago. He had a lot of problems in his church, and his church had been up and down, different things. And about a year ago, and I talked to him, he was so excited. Man, his church was growing and glowing. That's what he told me. We're growing and glowing, preacher. He was so excited, man. I mean, God had been in that thing, and I was so excited. Me and him were shouting. Talked to him Friday, and he was so discouraged. He said, preacher, got a bad spirit in my church. Really bad. He said, I got people causing me trouble, sowing discord. Don't do it! Don't do it! And I broke my heart. Put that thing in the sheath. Keep it in there. I got thinking, man, I broke my heart. I know another preacher 6 months ago. I sat with him. He's crying. Tears in his eyes. He said, Brother Terry, got somebody in my church causing trouble, turmoil. And he said, I'm going to have to get rid of them. He was crying. He said, they've been with me a long time. Keep that thing in there. Now, I don't know anything like that going in our church right now. I told that preacher Friday. I said, I've had a lot of trouble too in my church. I've had people that sow turmoil and all that. I said, I know what you... But I said, right now, and I mean this, and I told him that, I think our church is the best it's ever been. I said, a good Sunday, we got about 15. And I said, there was a time we ran 50 or 65, but I said, I'd rather have the 15 I got right now than that 50 or 60 that I had back then. I'd rather have the right spirit. I'd rather have people that want to serve God. I'd rather have in here without causing trouble, then 100 people doing that. Keep the sword of turmoil in the sheath. Psalms chapter 51. Miss Jana mentioned that a while back on a Thursday night. I don't know if you remember this, Miss Jana, but I remember. And she said, you know, and it's where we're at now. Where we're at now. She said, I think this church, you remember this, I think this church is the best it's ever been. You remember saying that? She said, right now we've got the right people. And she said, we're seeing more prayers answered right now than we ever have. Keep that sword of turmoil. If people want to talk about this church, hang up on them. Just tell them, I don't want to hear that. That's abomination to God. I don't want to hear that. Bye. They want to do that. Bible said over there in Psalms 51 verse 10, Brother Earl preached about this right a while back. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Say, God, give me that right spirit. Give me that right spirit, God, that I can take and keep that sword of the tongue in the sheath, that I won't hurt nobody with that thing, cut anybody up. Help me, Lord, to keep that sword of the temper in that sheath, God, that I don't fly off the handle and do some damage, hurt my testimony, hurt my job, hurt my church, hurt my family. Help me not to do that, Lord. Help me to keep that sword of temptation, God, that don't get in trouble. And help me to keep that sword of turmoil and trouble and tension and discord, God. Help me to keep that thing and guard it, Lord, and hold it in the sheath. Help me, Lord. I want to be a blessing, don't you? Out in the highways and byways of life, many are weary and worn, sad. Carry the sunshine where darkness is rife, making the sorrowing glad. Make me a blessing. Make me a blessing. Out of my life, may Jesus shine. Make me a blessing, O Savior, I pray. Make me a blessing to someone today. Put that sword. Keep it in the sheath. Keep that sword. Let's bow our heads. Ask my wife to come play a few minutes this morning. Just ask her to play. Give you a little bit of invitation. Talk to God. Maybe you need to talk to Him a little bit. Probably do. I do. I do. Hope you're honest. Hope you're open with God. Say, Lord, you can come to the altar. Pray where you're at. Say, Lord, that old tongue of mine gets me in trouble sometimes. Say things I shouldn't, Lord. I pull that old sword out, God, and just start cutting sometimes. Lord, help me to control that old sword of the tongue. Help me, Lord, to control that sword of the temper. Help me to not fly off, Lord. Help me, God, to keep my eyes upon You. You have to just start quoting Scripture. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Just guard whatever it takes. Just to keep that sword of the temper in the sheath. Don't pull it out. Don't start cutting it. Keep the sword of temptation. Don't give in to temptation. Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Keep that sword of turmoil. Don't be a discorder. Don't be a tattler. Don't be talking about God and house of God and preachers and things. Don't sow discord among God's people. Don't do it. Don't do it. It'll come back. It'll come back to you. Don't do it. Keep that thing clean. Say, Lord, create in me a clean heart and a right spirit, God. Help me have that right spirit, God. Lord, I get around these people that do that, Lord, I'm going to hang up on them. I'm not going to talk to them, God. I'm not going to listen to it, God. I'm going to obey You above everything. Just give You a few minutes where You had praying.